Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Muliwa Gawaza, and for today, we are talking about, you know, what is quite a sensitive subject in a lot of circles, and that is the issue of wills, you know, those declarations that come upon one's death about, their wishes when it comes to what they want to be done with their estates, with their property, that type of thing. And quite coincidentally, we are in the middle of Wills Week. I actually was not aware that there was such a thing as Wills Week until we were actually researching for this topic. So very interested to actually, talk about, what's actually going on. And to help us to maybe unpack what's going on and some of the solutions that people are actually bringing out there, we are joined by Zale Hector, who is the CEO of ClickTech, to give us some of this insight. Zale, greetings to you today.
How are you? Great to be with you.
I think a good place for us to start is maybe ClickTech itself, because I do understand that with some of the solutions that you guys are, bringing to the market, you guys have people like clientele that you guys are working with, etc. But, from your purview as ClickTech, maybe you can give us a little bit about the company and what it is that you guys do.
Yeah, so the journey started, I'd say, just pre-2009. I lost my grandfather and my dad a month apart with cancer, and obviously had to be faced with dealing with, the later estates and the winding up of those estates. And realized that, sure, this is quite complex and there's quite a lot of expense around this that wasn't known, and there should be a way that technology can help us to do this better. And that started my journey. We built it out over time. We tried different iterations. Some things worked, some things didn't. And we eventually got to the stage where we actually launched a fiduciary platform. What we do is we create white-labeled instances. So white-labeled is basically we take our technology, we can plug that into any environment. So whether it's a bank, whether it's a financial institution. And the reason why I'm mentioning that is that the idea is that we want to make sure that we can put as many wills in South Africa's hands. So we're also social entrepreneurs, and we realize that without a will, there's a lot of social issues that come around that. And if we can make sure that we can get more people with wills in their hands, we can start making a real difference. And the best way to do that is not just do it ourselves. Yes, we do have we have our own technology that we've white labeled Smart Will, and that's a product that we have to the market, direct to the consumer. But we also have multiple corporates that we have launched with and are currently launching with, which is going to help us to achieve those goals. So our target is, at least 1 million wills in the next 2 to 3 years. And we've been at that for about 18 months now, and it's looking very good. So that's really where we're coming from, and we really wanted to try and make a difference in that regard.
One of the things I'm curious about as you're talking is, because, my limited understanding of contract law is that literally a person on their deathbed could literally take out a napkin, write something, I want all my property to go to my son, and that's it. That becomes, the last will and testament, and it's valid, and, life goes on. So, but, I do understand that a lot of people still don't understand fully, how wills work. So maybe you could walk us through specifically what it is that you guys are helping people with. Is it the writing? Is it admin? Is it filing it with someone that will administer it later on?
So ours is a turnkey solution. So let's just talk through that. So the first thing is obviously making sure it's accessible, right? So when we started out on this journey, we did a lot of research. And what we found is that when we spoke to people, people would say, yes, they really want to make sure that they've got a will. So great. Well, why haven't you got a will? Well, people don't have time. Okay. So time talks to accessibility, because people don't have the time. We have to make it accessible, highly motivated, but we need to make sure that it's accessible so people can engage. So that's where we thought, okay, we can use technology to do this. And we started with the premises, well, we have to make sure that the will is 100% valid. Right. And it's going to take as many eventualities into account. That's where the complexity comes to build something like this. You can imagine, you know, all the different circumstances that people have. So our system actually builds out a personalized will. So the first thing you need to do is obviously, you know, you have to get all the details of your estate together. So what policies you have, are you married, do you have children, you know, do you have any liabilities, and so on. And that gives us a great picture of what we need to start with. And two things happen on that. So the first is the process identifies if there is issues that you need in terms of, you know, estate planning. So there might be some people that would benefit from proper estate planning, and the system through the algorithms actually works out if that's necessary. And then it gives the person the opportunity to actually get that advice and obviously cut down on expenses for tax or whatever it may be. So that's very helpful. And also through the journey, you're going to get to a specific part of it where it's going to start saying, okay, what are your actual wishes? You know, what is it that you actually want to see? So what will happen is you will then be able to say, you know, this is my beneficiaries. This is who's going to get the money. This is from your estate. You're going to say these are, you know, special requests or things that of a sentimental value or specific assets that you want to leave to somebody. You're going to set out your burial wishes. All of that is going to form part of that. And that's all part of the journey, part of the process, right? Once you've completed that, the system then takes all that information and then writes the correct will for you. Now, yes, I suppose you could write it on a napkin on your deathbed and sign it, but I can promise you that it's going to be contested because there's so many, according to the Act, there's so many things that need to be in place, you know, to make sure it's valid. It's got to be signed properly. It's got to be witnessed. The witnesses can't be people that are benefiting, you know. Problem is, in your deathbed, the people around you are probably going to be people that are benefiting from that estate. There's so many issues that are actually really hidden. They're hidden because they're not well known. So you want to make sure that you're dealing with professionals that are making sure that that's right. And then what we do is what we call phygital. So phygital means we're not just digital, but we also have people behind us. So throughout the whole journey, you've got access to customer service agents to assist you. You've also got, you want access to fiduciary experts if you need advice. That's included. And then also every single will that finishes is checked by those fiduciary experts just for nuances that could be there. To make sure that it's 100% right. And often we'll pick up small things. Like someone will say, you know, I want to, like, if they've got a firearm, they want to leave a firearm to their children. So, well, they can't, they're minors. We need to consider that. And that actually happens. So right from start to finish, you've got that advice. And then you have the opportunity to actually then decide, you know, for a fee to store it correctly. We have products that will give discounts and executive fees. And we've also got the ability to check the Department of Home Affairs. So, we get contacted all the time by people that have lost wills, like all the time. So, and please can you check on your system if this person has a will with you? Or where do I go to find out if a person has a will? So it's very important that it's stored correctly. I promise you, you know, 20 years from now, you know, someone's going to forget where they put the will, or they left it, or they moved the house or something. And also family members don't know. So like, your wife and you might know where the will is. Now, unfortunately, you die in a car accident. No one knows where the will is. Well, it could be with the bank. It could be with an attorney. It could be with a smart book. It could be anywhere. So we have a system that actually checks the Department of Home Affairs and pings and lets the beneficiaries know that there is a will as soon as someone has passed. Right. So we can
actually I'm just going to interject, you know, for a moment because, you know, it sounds like there's a lot of different aspects that actually go into the making of a will. And I like what you said earlier on about, you know, there are a lot of factors that make a will valid. That's the first thing. And then the second thing, I'm just reflecting to, you know, your own experience that actually led you down this path earlier on, and the fact that you know, we have a whole wills week that we're talking about at the moment. So against that backdrop, right, how big is this problem? Because I don't think it's in isolation that someone like you has decided that you're going to make a whole company out of this, or a whole solution rather, you know, around this and aiming to get to a million wills. And the fact that you guys have done research to say that we could get to a million wills, you know, would show that there's some type of gap, you know, that you guys are seeing in the market. So maybe you could give us some insight just around, as ordinary South Africans, how big is this issue?
Well, it's a massive issue. We've got, at the moment, only according to the latest stats that we've got from the Master's Office, is that about 30% of South Africans have a will. So the other side of that is 70% of people don't have a will. So you start looking at that, you put 100 people together, move 70 people outside, none of them have a will. And the shocking thing is, it's the people that you least expect. Like often we'll be sitting in a board meeting and, with clients and we'll say, okay, guys, well, we give them the same stats and everyone laughs. Like, no, it's impossible. We'll say, okay, well, who around the table hasn't got a will? And 9 times out of 10, a person's going to raise their hand. These are executives. They're going to raise their hand and they say they don't have a will. And then everyone laughs at the person that doesn't have a will. And then I say, okay, well, who have you had changes in your circumstances in the last 2, 3, 5 years? Everyone's like, oh, yeah, new car, house, but married, divorced, whatever. Okay. When last did you update your will? And everyone just goes quiet. And so it's not just the getting a will, it's actually keeping it updated. You know, your circumstances change all the time. So, like, let's just use marriage and divorce. You know, people don't realize that from the point, okay, it's obviously divorce can be very stressful. People go through that, and then what happens is they don't realize that you've got 3 months to update your will. If month 4, you haven't updated your will, and something happens to you, your ex will inherit because that's what was in your will.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, divorce is, like, it's one of the key things, divorce. The other one is, if you're a parent, and you haven't elected who your guardians of your children are, right? What will happen is that if there is no family member, so you might have a friend that you could put as a guardian, but if there's no will, the state will decide there's no one that's suitable. You have to go into foster care, right? And if you don't, and if it's not foster care, they will then elect a family member that you have had no say in who that person is to look after your children, right? Now that's a scary thought. I mean, apart from just the value mix, what does that actually mean? You lose that right. So, I mean, those are two big ones. I mean, I could go on, but I mean, we also have delays because of the fact that people don't have wills. There's people don't know that there's a massive amount of cost. I mean, we've got a calculator that's built into our system that works out the exact cost of death. So whether it's transfer fees, capital gains tax, if it's executive fees, estate duty, people get confused. They think estate duty and executive fees are the same. They're not. And it works out. And suddenly the people look at this and like, hey, I've got to pay R500,000 in fees and taxes that I didn't even know about, right? What does that look like? And in our system, working with clients online, you can actually, you know, take an insurance product to cover that risk. It's all these elements that people just don't realize. And unfortunately, it happens too late. That it does. And then families are having to sell assets, paid for assets, or take out loans with high interest to be able to pay fees. It can really become a big, big mess. And I think, you know, we all have heard stories of that happening. So that's what I'd say when we're trying to tackle that social aspect. There's so many aspects of that. And it starts with that your planning and making sure that your children are cared for and so on. All starts actually with the will.
Now, because we are a business platform, there's a lot of business considerations, and you're already touching on issues of assets, costs, you know, what it actually entails. You've got a calculator, you know, all of that stuff. So from your experience then, because, you know, one of the scary things that you did say was the fact that some of the people that you expect to have, you know, things like wills in place, such as executives, actually don't. I'm now interested in business owners. Maybe you could give us some insight on that, right? Because that's a big bone of contention in a lot of families, to say, you know, if a business owner passes on, who takes over the business, you know, and all of that stuff. And sometimes those things are laid out. I'm not sure where all of that fits in, but maybe you could talk to us about that.
It's a big part. It's a great question. I mean, it's a big part. So roughly in our systems, roughly 57% of people that are on the system are business owners, which is a very high percentage. So it's, if you are a business owner, first of all, the executives will need to know that there's a business, right? Because that forms part of your estate. And then that again goes back to where, you know, the process is so important. It's not just the document, the process, because in that process, it's going to flag and say, listen, you're a business owner, you need additional estate plan. Because every business is different. What type of business is it? Is it a PTY? Is it a sole proprietor? You know, do you have, and if you've got shares, you know, what are those shares? What is the value of those shares? And the scary thing that we pick up is that so few business owners don't have a simple buy and sell agreement. Now, look, I'm not a financial planner, so I can't get into the nitty-gritty of what that is. But from what I understand, a buy and sell agreement basically says, we've got business partners in the business. There's insurance cover that will pay out the business. I'm a business owner with two other partners. Now I pass away. There's a policy that will pay out the other business owners to pay out for the, you know, so that they can buy my shares. Okay. So the business will be able to buy my shares, and that money will go to my heirs and my beneficiaries. Something simple like that. Now imagine if you don't have that. Now you die, and there's no money that's going to be paid to those, to your partners. So they turn around and say, well, sorry, we don't have money, or I've only got so much money. And that actually can hamstring your entire legacy that you've been working on for years through to your family that you're wanting to leave this legacy for. Because they don't have the money. Or there's a big fight about what the value is, you know, and whatever else. So just having something simple like that can make a massive difference. So business owners, very important that they get into the system and go through and make sure they get it all done to make sure that they actually cover all of these risks, and make sure that it's clear.
It's actually, you know, a bit of a morbid discussion that we are having, but I'm sure that by now, just given your line of work, you're probably used to, thinking about some of these things. So from that point of view, then when it comes to, I'm thinking about it from, because lots of consumers are involved, lots of business owners are involved, etc. When it comes to your partnership with clientele, what does that actually entail? Because, you know, my basic understanding would be that it sounds like some type of like a gap cover, you know, to say that, you know, this is the cost of, I think you used the term cost of dying earlier on, you know, what you have, you know, your whatever assets you leave behind versus what that actual cost is, you know, is that what's actually being insured with? Maybe you can talk to us about that partnership.
Sure. So as you mentioned earlier, it's National Wills Week. So every year we try and find different ways to try and get more wills in people's hands. And we've partnered with Clientele to actually they're sponsoring 1,000 wills this week. First come, first serve, finish your will in 7 days and you've got your will done for you and sponsored by them. So obviously, that's for this week what we're working with. But on the other side, we're working with Clientele because they've got a really great product, an estate preservation plan. And what that does is it makes sure that there's money available that's paid. And this is important. It's not paid to beneficiaries. The money is paid into the later estate. So what happens is when you die, the executors open a bank account where all monies go into, and then they settle the amount from out of that. Okay. So that money that's paid, it's paid into that account. So it's specifically earmarked to pay those expenses. And that's additional expenses or master's fees, and so on. Now, what is quite interesting is that Clientele has done their own research and they basically said, look, if whatever the size of your estate is, on average, that the cost of death comes in at about 6.5% of the total value of your estate. Okay. So every million is 65,000. Okay. So it can really, really get quite expensive. I think that's where, you know, it's important to make sure that you have that. It's almost like it's a backup cover, because you may have life insurance in there, but your life insurance is paying for other things. Your life insurance is paying for other debt that you may have. It's, you know, it's making sure that the house is paid off, you know, when the person dies. Yeah, so I think it's important to make sure that you have that, you know, that cover in place, just to give your family that peace of mind. And I think that's where we see that the partnership is so important. the system identifies it, and it's totally up to the person on the system if they want to use it or not. But we find a lot of people engage on that product. At least more than half of the people actually need that sort of cover.
Okay. Now, as we come to the end of the discussion, just given everything that we've spoken about, the partnership with the clientele, you know, some of the costs that are involved in, passing on your assets, as a person passes on, some of the economic considerations that are actually factored into there, the costs, whether or not you're a business owner, life insurance, all of that stuff. When it comes to, I guess, moving forward now, where do you see some of the biggest gaps or some of the biggest, because it sounds like the big issue that's being tackled is an accessibility issue and a knowledge issue, where people don't necessarily understand the full, range of items they need to consider, So when it comes to that, the accessibility and the knowledge, where do you see some of the biggest gaps that you think, are quite urgent for people to actually, as a population, for people to actually say, okay, fine. If you're estate planning, these are things that, that you need to plan for, that you think, technology could actually help with.
Yeah, sure. So I think, the reality is we're in the fourth industrial revolution. We are there, and COVID's definitely accelerated that. We can see that seen on our side. When we had the first lockdown, in South Africa, and, no one could go anywhere. The only place they could go and get their rules updated was online because they couldn't get anywhere. So, year on year, we were up 500%, and a year later, we're still ahead of that. So there's been a massive demand for that. And I think that you mentioned accessibility. I think that's the crux is and education. So those are the two things that I talk about the most. So the more educated people are, and that's what we're having, very happy and excited to be having this conversation with you, is we want to educate people as much as possible. So that I'm hoping that people listening to this will go and get their wills done because now they've been educated and what their risks are. To their family and to their legacies. So education is key. So once people are educated and that, drives up their motivation, then it's a case of, okay, well, how do I make it easy? Now, in the past, you would have to go, perhaps take a day of work and, go and meet with people and discuss it and, do the will and that. Now you can literally do it in the palm of your hand. It's available wherever you may be. You can be on top of a mountain as long as you've got, internet access and your phone with you, you can get it done. And not only that, but you've got access to live chatbots and everything else, to be able to access that information. So SmartCall's we've been doing this and we've done a lot of research worldwide. We are definitely market leaders in that space and, proudly South African and, looking forward to see what's going to happen in the next 2 years, so we can hit 1 million wells.
So that's been us. We're talking to Zale Hector, who is the CEO of ClickTech, giving us some insight into the state of, it's very weird to say, but, the wills industry or the wills sector. After a discussion such as today's, you really do realize and appreciate, all the different, economic considerations that actually go, into estate planning and some of the ways that they are trying to use technology to one, bring down the cost, that's normally associated with it, but also at the same time, make it more accessible. Some of the more surprising things, from the discussion is the fact that, firstly, a lot of people don't have wills simply because they say they don't have time, to put one in. And at the same time, a lot of people that you'd expect, to have, wills in place actually don't. And that really becomes a problem, for a lot of people, and especially for business owners, if you don't have, some of those things in place, the legacy that you're trying to build might actually just fall away, in a spectacular fashion if you're not careful. And then at the end, and this is probably the scariest stat that we got, is to say that 70% of South Africans don't, have a will, and you sort of leave it up to chance, what happens, when you're gone, when it comes to your property. So hopefully, like you said, this is one of those types of discussions that we can continue to have, because I really feel like we've barely scratched the surface. There's probably a lot more. I can see right now now. You know, Zale's actually nodding his head like, yeah, no, I wish you knew where this thing is going. So we probably look forward to having him again in future just to touch on other aspects when it comes to all of this stuff. Zale, thank you so much for being with us today.
Madira, thank you so much. It's been great.
This is Madira's Take.
Definitely a discussion that needs to continue being had. I think we should get someone like Zale, if not Zale himself, back once again to continue this discussion because there's so many aspects, you know, about wills, estate planning, and what happens when you're gone that really do need to be considered, especially, you know, all the things that the law says can or cannot happen. You know, if you happen to pass on without a will in place, what does that all mean, right? So I think it's a very important issue, and especially if you are one of those people that is concerned about legacy or just working to make sure that you do leave something behind for your family, for the next generation, etc. Just planning around these issues is very important, and just making sure that, you know, you cross your T's, dot your I's when it comes to these issues will be very important. But like what he said, the biggest issue is accessibility and education, you know, are the issues that do need to be tackled. So hopefully more and more platforms such as this, you know, do their bit just to make sure that more people have wills and we reduce that ratio. You know, hopefully one day when we have such a conversation again, we'll be talking about a 70-30 split in the opposite direction. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.